Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. Keith Kelly here with you with our Root Sports Rockies update. You can give us a call at 634-1240. You can text the show at 630-2266. Let's go to the phones. We visit with Mark Stout from Root Sports Rocky Mountain. Mark, how's it going today, man?
It's going good, Keith. How are you been, man?
Doing all right. Well, of course, when this interview plays, the Rockies will hopefully have picked up and salvaged a game of their three-game set with the Arizona Diamondbacks, which was played earlier this afternoon. But, boy, I was looking at the road record versus the home record. You know, seven straight losses at Coors Field. It's fascinating to me to see how, you know, well, so to speak, the Rockies are playing 11-8 on the road, and how poorly they've been able to play at home. It's just usually not that way.
Yeah, it's topsy-turvy. Walt Weiss even said last night when, you know, you ask about the offense, and, you know, in the Tuesday night game, you get a run via a wild pitch, and that's it, and only four hits in the game. He was like, well, wait a minute, these are the same guys that put up 13 runs in an inning in San Francisco, a hitter's ballpark, so I don't know. It's tough to make sense of. The team has had one winning road record in franchise history. That was 2009 when they were 41-40, just a game over 500. You know, the thinking is if you can play somewhere around 500 on the road, then you're a playoff contender. So, you know, to look on the bright side, let's hope that continues and they can pick things up at home.
Is it, you know, it seems like it's a little bit of everything. The offense really hasn't clicked as much at home, but the pitching seems to be the big difference, just the splits in ERA. And maybe that's something you expect, but does it prove that the Rockies have quality pitching? Is this more about being pitching in Denver? What do you think about that?
I think it's about pitching in Denver because they've been victimized by the home run ball, especially somebody like Tyler Chatwood, who has been one of maybe the best pitcher in baseball on the road. I think his ERA is like, you know, 0.30.
Yeah.
And then at home in his three starts, he's allowed five home runs, two in each of them, and they've basically led to, you know, one inning where he's given up a bunch of runs. Chris Russell on Tuesday night allowed four runs in one inning, not via the home run, but it was a leadoff double, then it was a couple of bleeders. Then he said he left a pitch up to Chris Owings, and then there was a bunt that scored a run. That was a little bit more of Arizona just getting the most they could out of an inning. That's a little bit of luck involved, too. So there's a bunch of factors. I think I come down to the home runs still seem to fly out of Coors Field.
Is it, now, when watching the games, I mean, you can see, especially, I'll use John Gray as an example, just because that's the last one I really paid attention to, movement on his pitches, slider, things like that, is there, and it just seems to not be that way at Coors Field, and maybe I'm micro-analyzing things way too much on that, but is that the real crux of the problem right there, is the movement of pitches?
Could be. That could be one of the things, you know. Jake McGee came over in the Corey Dickerson trade from Tampa Bay, and when the team was home earlier in the season, he was talking about how he was utilizing his curveball at Coors Field differently, where his release point had to be way lower because it just didn't break as much, and he thought he had kind of figured it out, and then he came into that game that the Rockies were up 10-7 on the Dodgers and had a tough ninth inning, and his curveball didn't really work. Yeah, it's an adjustment. It's, you know, I hate to pin it all on altitude and Coors Field and Denver, but it is a difficult place to pitch, and I think it remains that way.
How much can be mental part of it? I mean, even though you know it's going to be different, can add too much more when you think about it as much?
Yeah, I think if you're a pitcher and you're like, hey, I'm throwing the same way I throw on the road and my stuff doesn't correlate here, I think that could definitely be a mind game thing, you know, and it works in the favor of the hitters where, you know, you go to Coors Field and you're ready to rake. I mean, we've been, you know, over this topic year in and year out, so I'm not really sure, you know, if it's something different than what we talked about, and, you know, Walt Weiss continually says it'll end up evening out, so that's all I can say, Keith. I don't know. I mean, you know. Other than the humidor and everything else has been talked about, it's just the way it is. You
right.
Know?
Yeah, and I know we've been over it too. I mean, it's always going to be a topic until I guess it's not, and you just go out there and play. It's kind of interesting though, the wide gaps, especially because you know these guys are pitching really well, and you gotta. I guess it's a happy medium between the two is what these pitchers actually are, or maybe you lean towards the road split more than the home. But I think it's always an interesting topic. Moving along. The Rockies taking on the Mets this weekend, but I'm still amazed with Nolan Arenado. We talk about him all the time, and he just, you know, he gets play nationally, and it's starting to garner more attention. You know, everybody wants to talk Bryce Harper, Mike Trout. Nolan Arenado sitting there, he plays the toughest position in the game, and he's the best player. He's the best player in baseball, in my opinion.
He made a couple of plays yesterday. Or, you know, whatever, he makes plays every day. Yeah. But, you know, in baseball, you might say, hey, you know, open your eyes, or, yeah, that was a gift for you, you know, Merry Christmas. You never say anything like that about Nolan. Every single play he makes, so, you know, if somebody hits a rocket down to third, you expect him to make it. Now, when other teams come in, you say things like, hey, open your eyes, that was a lucky catch. So, yeah, I think he's the best player in baseball just because defense alone, and his hitting has been great too. You know, and he's done it home and away. He's just a pleasure to watch, and he's a good guy. You know, the other day, Tuesday, he was out up here where I live in Thornton in the North Metro area of Denver. Mm-hmm. He was at a school and doing some stuff with the Home Runs for Kindness. So, it's awesome to watch Nolan every day, and you know we're fortunate to have him.
And that's the difference between, and it's a conversation we've had on the show. Difference between he and Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's got that bad boy image, you know, the FU to the ump. Yeah, you know, after the game earlier this week when he got tossed. You don't see that with Nolan Arenado, and I think that really separates them as well. Despite Harper playing in that larger market.
Yeah, he's an endearing guy. I could never see him doing that. Once in a while, he'll question a call at the plate. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't put him in. I don't have him in that same kind of personality as Harper. And, you know, I mean, I see Bryce Harper all the time on Quick Pitch at MLB Network. But I just concern myself with the Rocks and Nolan Arenado and try to, you know, not get caught up in that either, Keith.
The Toyota, the Twitter talk, how is that going? Who we got coming up later? How are things going with that? I unfortunately had to be a part-timer last night and run the board back here at the station, so I wasn't caught up on the Twitter last night. How are things going with that, though?
Well, last night was Dallas Braden, and if you remember that name, he picked a perfect game for the A's. He's on ESPN as an analyst now. Jenny has a connection with him because her husband and Dallas grew up in Stockton and played baseball together.
Okay.
Keith, I don't know who's on the schedule. I've been on the road and haven't back here in Denver to kind of go through that. The only thing I can tell you about the Toyota Talk Twitter takeover is that the Rockies have 0 wins on Tuesday this year. 0. They're like 0-6, and I know that next week there's an off day Monday in St. Louis, and then you start a series against the Cardinals on the road on Tuesday. And the week after that, there's an off day on Monday in Boston, and then you start a series with the Red Sox on Tuesday. So Tuesdays have been difficult.
Are the Rockies coming and looking at Root Sports right now because of taking the Twitter takeover off there, tongue-in-cheek using that, of course.
Yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek. Millie Arenado was on, too, a couple of weeks ago before Mother's Day.
That was great.
Nolan's mom. That was cool.
That was.
You know, we're going to try to have, if we could have, like, John Hickenlooper, you know, who's a baseball fan or something like that. We want to kind of run the gamut, you know, amongst baseball players, ex-players, and some people that enjoy the game, too, and kind of our dignitary. So we'll see. I should know. I should ask somebody what the schedule is coming up, but I don't know. You know, we got this road trip coming up, and this stretch of games, you're talking about the Mets at home, the Cardinals, the Rockies, you know, have had a tough time there. Pirates a good team, and the Red Sox are playing great and putting up a ton of runs. So it's a tough stretch coming up that takes you basically to the final weekend in May.
But they're on the road, so maybe that's a good thing. So we'll have to wait
exactly.
and see. Yeah, no doubt. Mark, always appreciate the time. We appreciate it as always. I hope the Rocks can get that win and today, and welcome in the Mets on the weekend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Keith, always good to talk. Thanks.